Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show tonight. And we are here to talk about the Colts' 24-21 big AFC South victory over the Houston Texans on Sunday night. Definitely a big, big, big win for the Colts and for what they're trying to accomplish in their last few games of the season. I mean, when you're up 17-7 at halftime, trying to come back, to make a real push and try to extend that lead into the second half, you have a lot of things that go right, a lot of things that don't necessarily go right. And then you just see Andrew Luck kind of at the top of his game with some big, big plays, you know, over the course of the game, several 20-yard plays, just really a nice performance overall for the Colts. I mean, we saw several things go, like I said, we saw several things go right. We saw some great defensive play. We saw some great offensive play. And in the end, the Colts didn't really push for that big, you know, that big kind of a blowout type win. And I kind of mentioned something this past week that if the Colts were to be the victors in this, I kind of saw it to be about a 3-point win. So I kind of felt like maybe I knew a little something about what I was talking about. Maybe I just lucked out. That's probably more along the lines of reality. But in general, I mean, we had a huge, huge game from T.Y. Hilton. Zach Pascal played really, really well, had a touchdown. Eric Ebron had a touchdown rolling into the end zone. He played pretty well, had a few nice catches out of Chester Rogers. So that was nice. It seemed like the Colts receiving wise kind of put, you know, enough together. And man, I'll tell you what, that Zach Pascal touchdown catch was one of the prettier routes that he has run this year, and probably even one of the prettier routes that most of the receivers had run this year. So I was really impressed with that. At the end, Andrew Luck goes 27 of 41 for nearly 400 yards, 399, 9.7 yards per attempt. Nice to see that. Two touchdowns, an interception, only took two sacks, and vice versa. The Colts ended up sacking Deshaun Watson five times on the night, and that was really nice as well. I think that the Colts' run game was really impressive in general. I mean, on 20 carries from the running backs, they only allowed 54 yards. That's, just and exciting. What is that, about, what, 2.9 yards per carry there from those guys. So that's really impressive as well. I mean, that's something that the Colts have been pretty stinking good at all season. And they need, I mean, they're averaging, what, 3.9, I think, on the season, or were before this game. And that's in the top 10 in the league. So you like to see them stopping the run. The problem is that the Colts' run game is kind of trash right now again all of a sudden. You know, they come up with over 450 yards over two games. Really look like, okay, this could be something that we could start to see some consistency at, and we're just not. In my opinion, that's one of the bigger issues with this team is the running game right now. Frank Reich, this offensive staff, got to put, you know, kind of collectively put their heads together, in my opinion, this week, and they've got to get something going because, look, they're going up against the Cowboys defense that is really kind of at the top of its game right now, and this is not a week that they can afford not to have a running game. And not, you know, kind of conversely, they're probably going to struggle a little bit against the run this year or this week defensively. So this is a big, big week. They've got to find a way to stay on the field. And the running game, to me, for the Colts is a big issue with their hands on the ball. Like I said, I was really impressed. Nice to see. And not only did T.Y. have such a big game, but T.Y. had a big game when he did not look healthy. I mean, he was kind of just doing what he does against the Texans, especially on the road, just carving them up. Darius Leonard had a big game, had a sack, two tackles for loss. Pass defense, nice coverage there on DeAndre Hopkins too, so that was nice. It was a short route, but still very good technique, inside hand getting the ball slapped away. Anthony Walker had another big game. We talked about him this past week with Zach Hicks as well, about his play. And Clayton Gethers, you know, a guy that Zach wasn't impressed with up to this point in the season, I thought he had a pretty good game, so that was nice to see. Kenny Moore looked really good. You know, he had a sack as well. Jabal Sheard had a couple tackles for loss. Denico Autry looked fantastic again, getting in the backfield, having another couple sacks. Just overall, defensively, I think that you have to be very impressed with a team that had 10.5 tackles for loss on the night and just really continues to do work in the opponent's backfield. They're rerouting running backs. They're getting to the quarterback now again. And it's just nice to see on both sides of the ball that they're being active and that they can get this all done. And, you know, just in general, I think that we have a lot to be happy about, a lot to be impressed about. At the same time, this was a very good bounce back game, obviously, after the Jaguars game. Now they've got the Cowboys, the Giants, and then they finish the season with the Titans. So this is going to be these are three harder, more difficult games than what it looked like it was going to, even like five, six weeks ago. This looked like this could be, look, the Colts could possibly run the table. This is much, much more difficult three-game stretch here than it looked like it could be a while ago. You know, the Giants are playing pretty well, surprisingly enough. You know, the Titans, you really just don't know what you're going to get from them. You know, I warned you guys about the Jaguars. Obviously, the Colts do not play well in Florida. And the Colts kind of have had some up-and-down games in Tennessee as well. So, you know, they could easily, honestly, I just think this is completely accurate that the Colts could win all three of these and they could lose all three. This is a really important three-game stretch here where Frank Reich has to be above and beyond his play calling. He has to be on top of everything situationally as a coach. He's got to have his coaches on point and ready to go. And the offense has to be, you know, running with all aspects firing. You know, kind of on all cylinders, if you want to say that. The running game has to be good. They have to be able to protect. The passing game has to be successful. They have to catch the ball. They've got to be able to do something after the catch. Defensively, they've got to continue to make plays. They've got to turn the other teams over. You know, this is just one of the situations I think that you look at with the way that they're doing. And what this is the first game. This past week was one of the first game of the year where the Colts didn't turn over a team. So, no, I don't think that there's any worry that that's some sort of a trend. I mean, it's the only game of the year. It hadn't happened. And up until last week, they were the only team who had done it every week. So, pretty impressive in that regard. But this is not an easy stretch here. Was an excellent game for the Colts this week. They started out really, really slow. We'll kind of go on a quick recap of the game, you know, at least most of the game. But, you know, it ended up turning out and the offense got on, you know, on pace and the defense continued their play. So it was it's a big win for the Colts and Colts fans, because I think Colts fans now are looking at this season saying, well, they're 7-6. They do have a shot at making the playoffs in the wild card. I don't know how, you know, likely it is. Man, if they win all three here, I mean, that's a 10-win season, guys, on a year where everybody at one point was saying the Colts aren't going anywhere. The Colts aren't doing anything this year. So interesting to think about. Let's talk about the game real quick. We'll kind of go drive by drive. I try not to kind of go in too in-depth on each drive, but just kind of, you know, a quick recap of what we saw, at least for most of the game. The Colts' first offensive possession, the Ebron has a drop right out the gate, 3-and-out. The Colts on defensively force a little bit of pressure early. They stop the run and get off the field on third down. And in fact, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, through four drives of each team, neither team had completed or had converted a third down. All three and outs. Kenny Moore got a sack on one of the defensive possessions, got a big stop deep in their own territory. The Colts got the ball at midfield, and then Swoop couldn't haul in a pass along the sidelines on third down. His feet didn't get in. Another 3-and-out, and like I said, at that time, neither team had gotten their offensive pass or their offense pass third down. So finally, the Texans do get on the board, and this is where we kind of got into where it just seemed like, what the hell's going on? This is not going to be good. The Texans got their first down of the game. Matthew Adams got called for that personal foul on the catch along the sidelines. Really crappy, piss-poor call about defenseless receiver type crap. I just don't get that. Look, if you come from an angle where the receiver can see you, I have a real problem with that calling being called a defenseless receiver. I think that's ridiculous. And not to mention, he was up and it was like body to body there. And I still don't like the fact that I keep hearing announcers say he lowered his head. I did not see him lower his head on that one. He simply came down, the receiver came down, and they may have hit heads or helmets. It's just BS to me. I don't agree with that. It's lazy call, I think. And, you know, there's not much else you can do. I don't know how you're supposed to play football in the NFL anymore, apparently. Then we go, you know, just what, a couple plays later or another play later, there was a blatant hold on Danico Autry where the guard literally turned Autry to his side and then tackled him. It was completely missed, and the Texans get near a first down. The Texans end up converting on fourth down on the next play. Then Malik Hooker gets called for helmet-to-helmet hit along in the end zone, or right there at the goal line. It was initiated by the receiver diving for the ball. It would have been an interception, and the Texans end up getting a touchdown on the next play. I don't think it was the offensive player did not initiate the contact intentionally, so I don't want anyone to get confused with that explanation. It was initiated by the receiver's actions diving for the ball, okay? So that's what I'm saying. My point is if the receiver's diving for the ball and you've got a guy coming up to stop him, he literally goes to his knees and almost turns his side, but they still happen to hit helmets. How in the hell can you call that a penalty? It's lazy. It's stupid. It makes absolutely zero sense for the game. You cannot call that. The NFL should not want that called because it is just simply not in line with how you play football. If there's any intent, any at all, I get it. That was absolutely incidental by both players. It's the way the game should be called or not be called. In other words, I don't think that you can call something when two people just happen to bump heads in a game of football where you wear helmets because people randomly bump heads. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Anyways, the Texans go up 7-0. The Colts end up getting another 3-and-out. Then they get a nice stop on third down by George Odom. He stalls the Texans' drive near midfield, and then the Colts have to take over after the punt inside their own 10. The Colts then, on their following possession, earn their first down of the game on a 2nd-and-10 reception by Hines. It was at roughly the 14-minute mark in the second quarter. The Colts finally put a solid drive together of 12 plays. It ended with an interception, though, by Andre Howell on a tip ball intended for Zach Pascal. So no score there for the Colts, but you can see that the offense is starting to get stuff going. The Colts defensively get some more good pressure from the defensive front on third down. The coverage was really good downfield. Autry got that sack and got the defense off the field on 3 plays. Nice to see that. Then the Colts do come back. Like I said, they get going on that 12-play drive. Then in 2 plays, Luck hits Hilton on a 60-yard pass. Mack gets a 4-yard touchdown run. Pushed really hard through the defense. I kind of thought we were going to start seeing the run game get back in line after that. Tied it up at 7 apiece with 6.5 to go in the first half. Defensively then, the Colts nearly pick off Watson across the middle of the field. Autry gets a big tackle on a screen pass where he's chasing down Lamar Miller. It was on third down. Colts defense hadn't allowed a third down conversion to that point. They had limited the Texans to 0 of 6 on third down. It was excellent. The Colts weren't great on third down either, mainly because they went through, 5 3 and outs in a row. But the Colts defense was playing very, very well at that point. Was really impressive, to be quite honest with you. So go back to the Colts' next offensive possession. Had a big first down catch and run by Eric Ebron. Glowinski went down after that play. Luck ended up getting a ball to Pascal inside the 15-yard line on a 28-yard pass and catch. Luck threw that 14-yard touchdown to Ebron. Ebron rolled himself into the end zone. Colts are up 14-7 with just under 3 minutes to go in the first half. Autry came back with another sack on the following possession by the Texans. Nobody touched him coming through the A-gaps. That was totally weird, and I know they mentioned that on the broadcast. And those guys just completely left him go. I mean, the guy who had killed you in the first go-round was murdering you already in the first half of the second go-round, and you don't even have him accounted for. The Colts did end up getting the Texans off the field again on third down, ended up calling timeout with 1:22 left in the first half. The Colts put another good drive together. They ended up getting downfield for a field goal opportunity for Vinatieri. He kicks a 54-yard field goal to end the half, 17-7 at halftime. At that point, Luck was 17-28 for 237, a touch and a pick. The Colts had limited Watson. I mean, obviously, he was very efficient, 12 of 16 in terms of accuracy. Only had 105 passing yards, and the Texans running backs had a total of 5 rushing yards at that point. The Colts only had 19, but it was still nice to see the Colts putting everything together defensively to stop the running backs for the Texans. So we'll be right back with the second half right after this word from TickPick. All right, Colts fans, we have a great deal for you. Let me tell you guys about TickPick, this amazing app to buy tickets to any game, concert, or other event. Are you looking for tickets to this week's game and want to know exactly what you're going to pay for those tickets? I do, and if you do too, then TickPick and their amazing and simple app is right up your alley. The TickPick app is extremely easy to use, and best of all, there are absolutely no surprises at checkout. Listen, you find the game, find the seats you want, and you're all set. Think StubHub without any fees. You get the same tickets, same seller, but absolutely zero fees. You save 10 to 15% on every ticket order. And get this, for our listeners, they're offering you an amazing offer of $15 off any single order over $99 through the end of the season. All you have to do is enter SB Colts as your gift code at checkout. This isn't a sign-up only offer either. They went all in for you guys. Not only do I use TickPick, but I approached them and wanted to get the word out on this company because it was so stinking easy, and nobody likes to find the seats they want, then get that smack in the face at checkout of another $35 to $50 in fees being added. I'll never use another ticket app again. It's very user-friendly, and you get the same great tickets with lightning-quick ticket transfers. Remember, that's TickPick, and use the gift code SBColts to save yourself $15 on any order over $99. Go to TickPick and take advantage of this offer today, 100% verified Colts tickets without any fees. All right, folks, we are back, and thank you for coming back. So the Texans end up immediately out of the end of halftime, put a 16-play drive together for a touchdown, immediately cut the Colts lead to 3-17-14, and that was kind of one of those things where it looked like things might turn for the worse. However, Colts end up doing what they did and ended up putting it back another touchdown drive right away. Gawinski was back in the game. Hilton picks up his 5th catch of the game on this drive, finally eclipsed 100 receiving yards for the game. Luck took a big sack on first down, took 4 of the defensive linemen who came at him all were in on that one. So I don't know if they gave everybody a quarter of a sack or what, but literally the offensive line for the Colts completely shut down on that play. Luck ended up on the following play stepping up into the pocket, hitting Hilton again for a big 34-yard catch along the sideline. Luck ended up hitting that touchdown pass to Zach Pascal. That's where it was a real nice hitch and go. Completely schooled the secondary, and then Hilton, after his catch, was now up to 134 receiving yards after that 34-yard catch. Luck ended up being 22 of 34 at this point for 313, 2 touches and a pick at this point. Defensively, the Colts again force a punt after the Texans move down the field, but are good enough to continue forcing pressure and keep them outside of field goal range on a 10-play drive. That's impressive. Kept the yardage down to a minimum and kept them out of field goal range. That really actually, in my opinion, kind of turned the momentum back in the Colts' favor, even though they had already scored another touchdown. Colts couldn't get any points on an 8-play drive on their following possession. The Colts ended up forcing more pressure defensively on third down. They had a nice pass breakup by Pierre Desir, and Watson got out of the pocket, was rolling out, and Desir did a nice job getting a hand on it and getting the ball to the ground. Hilton ended up catching another back shoulder catch from Luck. He had 193 yards at this point on 8 catches. Still, the Colts got no points out of that drive, which was a real shame in my opinion. And then on the following drive, Watson hit Hopkins for a touchdown pass in the back of the end zone. It was only a six-play drive, and then that is ultimately the final score there. It was 24-21. There was 2:37 to go in the game, and neither team ended up putting anything up on the board after that. So it kind of ended, it took a while for anything to really happen after that, and nothing just ended up, you know, coming together for either team. So that kind of stunk in terms of that and why, you know, it just, I mean, look, you had the touchdown, and then the Colts end up running, what, six plays and ending the game. It was nice to see the Colts be able to put that to bed with what, 2.5 minutes or more to go in the game. So nice to see that. Just in general, like I said earlier, it was nice to see the Colts be able to put another defensive effort together and put the game to bed. It was nice to see the Colts' offense come back and be able to score on four straight possessions. Touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown. Really was important for this Colts offense, in my opinion, after the game that they had last week against the Jaguars. That game was not worth recapping. That was not pretty. Nothing in that game happened offensively that anybody should really be excited about. What we talked about earlier, the Colts offense has to get the running game going. I don't know if it's the running backs themselves. I don't know if it's the offensive line themselves. I don't know if it's a combination of the two, really. But, man, something's got to give with this, because this running game, it doesn't have to, you know, they don't have to be the team that gets that 200 yards on the ground. But they've got to be able to get 100, 115, 125 yards of rushing complete, even if it's with Andrew Luck involved there. I mean, with 15 to 20 yards rushing. Something's got to happen there with that running game. And we're seeing, you know, even early in the game, Mac kept running the ball outside, and I felt like he had a couple of cutback lanes that he chose not to use. Some of this stuff is vision. I do know that. And some of this stuff just simply is, you know, good defense. I mean, the Texans are no slouch, right, on defense, especially against the run. But they've got to be able to figure something out. They've got to be able to find, you know, some green grass, I guess you could say, with the way that they are blocking and the way that they are running the ball. Something's got to happen. We're not seeing much out of Jordan Wilkins. We're not seeing, you know, anything out of Hines, who had looked much, much better there in a couple games as well. Marlon Mack is not stepping up, in my opinion, and getting a whole lot of yardage. He's kind of soft at the point of contact as well, and I'm just, you know, I'm a little worried about that, not overly, but they've got to do something. They've got to get that together. Obviously, we know that Andrew Luck, 9 times out of 10, is going to be phenomenal. I think you could say at least 7 to 8 times out of 10, the offensive line is going to keep him very clean. I mean, when you look at how many dropbacks he had and still only gave up 2 sacks for 13 yards, you know, I think that that's important to understand a little bit of context there with that. So I think that you have to still be happy and optimistic about the offensive line, even though they've given up 5 sacks in the past 2 weeks after not giving up one for the previous 5 weeks. It's just not the way the NFL is. You know, you cannot count on 0 sacks almost ever. That's why there was much of it was a record, you know, for everything that had happened. So looking at the Colts going forward, like I said, the Cowboys, Giants, and the Titans, big three games coming up. We'll talk about the Cowboys a couple days from now and try to dissect what they do. We will do a film room piece on that, because there hasn't been much work on them this year versus, you know, the divisional opponents that they've faced. We know what we need to basically know what we're going to get out of them at this point. So we'll have that, a film room up this week. Hopefully we'll have something up from Stephen Holder as well. Really appreciate Chris Blystone taking the reins there on the Dark Horses podcast. That's a really good show too. Hopefully you guys are listening to that. And if you're not, make sure you are. Make sure you guys are getting to the podcast on iTunes, giving us a rating and review. Lots of shows for you guys, honestly. I mean, if I'm a fan listening to this channel, I'm pretty excited that we've got several hosts and we've got several different outlooks and viewpoints in a podcast forum like this. So it's really an interesting thing. I hope you guys are enjoying it as much as I am. And make sure, obviously, that you guys are getting to Stampede Blue and getting all of your Indianapolis Colts news and analysis there. But thank you guys so much for everything that you guys are doing. Please share the show, tell a friend, let us know what you guys are thinking. Some feedback there in the review comments there on the podcast on iTunes. So other than that, we'll talk to you guys here in the next couple days or two right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.